the corner. Find them in Delwood, Afton, and Wentzville.
Check them out online at ZisserTire.com.
Who's ready for super premium fresh halibut imported daily from Alaska, grilled in an extra virgin olive oil with capers, lemon, mushrooms, and Greek oregano? That's how it's done at Surf and Sirloin, located in the southwest quadrant of Manchester and 270. Ask for it supreme style with colossal lump crab meat steamed in champagne. Owners Harry and Stavro Karagiannis have been in business for 25 years, and they are open for lunch Tuesday through Friday and dinner 7 days a week. Check out their menu online at surfandsirloin.com.
Petromart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you. In a hurry? Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items, like hot and ready pizza or fresh fruit and salads. Petromart has something for everybody, and it's always prepared fresh and available around the clock. Petromart, a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline and proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues.
Rosalita's Cantina is St. Louis's go-to Tex-Mex all throughout the year, but on May 5th, it is St. Louis's go-to Cinco de Mayo party spot. This Cinco de Mayo, check out all that Rosalita's on Washington Avenue has to offer, with live music all day featuring DJ Music, Mariachi, Mendez, STL, and Latin band Vladimir Ferreira. You can ride the Mechanical Bull, plus two balloon twisters and two face painters will be there. Tex-Mex, margaritas, and Cinco de Mayo done right, and it's all happening at Rosalita's on Washington Avenue.
Smells good.
Thanks. I picked up a Tuscan herb marinated tenderloin from Hatfield at Schnucks on my way home.
Huh, Hatfield?
They're new in town and are all about raising pork right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They put a pledge to it right on the packages of all the varieties of marinated pork tenderloins, loin fillets, and ribs they offer.
Oh, that's great. But there's a problem.
What?
It's not on the table yet.
Oh. Find better pork for your family at your local Schnucks.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
My wife's new thing is at the movie theater now. She has to have hot pretzel, buttered salted pretzel. That's her thing now.
Do you have cheese with it?
Nope, I do not like pretzels dipped in cheese. Ooh. They give you that little cheese container
really?
In the middle.
Oh, no, yeah, man.
I think it ruins
bites?
A good...
No, it's
no,
good.
A good pretzel. Yeah. A good pretzel doesn't need cheese. Like a good steak doesn't need steak sauce if it's a really good steak. That's the way I feel about it anyway. It is time to talk about movies and TV shows and the like, and Dan Buff is here to do that. I need to let you know that he's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. You can find out more at windowworldstlouis.com. I will also give you the numbers. Here's why you might want them. Let's say you just saw a movie or a TV show and it was great or it was horrible. You can warn us or you can recommend it. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Would you please give it up for Dan Buffa.
Hello.
Wow, listen to that, bro.
Yeah. Hey, it's like Bob Uecker in Major League. Let's hear it for these Indians.
If anybody else here in the room has a recommendation or a, hey, whatever you do, don't watch this, speak now or forever hold your peace, because I have two to mention before Dan starts. Anybody seen anything bad or good recently? No?
I've been watching a pretty good TV show on Netflix. It's called Safe. And it's got that Dexter guy on it. I'm about four episodes in. It's pretty interesting.
Michael C. Hall, right?
Yeah, that's the guy, yeah. Michael C.
Okay,
Hall.
Okay, but the way you said that, it's pretty interesting. It doesn't sound like it's great.
Yeah, it's not like
lean
it's not
into
one of
it,
those
Limey.
Like, you know, where you can just sit down and instantly one episode I'm hooked, but they're keeping me going.
We watch
What's it about? I don't from the name.
Basically,
I don't know what it's about.
It starts off with this guy's daughter disappears, and then they find her boyfriend at like this house party, and his body was just found in the swimming pool out the back. And you just find out all the different backstories of all these characters, and it is actually pretty interesting.
Those are usually interesting shows, but do they kind of build the plot up episode
by
episode?
You think you've got it figured out, and you think you know who the bad guy is, and then in the next episode they just mix it all up again.
Dan, what'd you have?
I have, well, there's two of them, and And The Resident, which we watch, it's on Monday nights on Fox. And that is a great show. It's about a hospital, but it's the Resident, and they're getting, I think next week is the finale for this season. We've watched it since day one. And then the other one, Frank, I don't know if you've tried it or not, but God Friended Me. It's on Sunday nights on CBS.
I still have not watched it.
And they just had,
I keep forgetting about it.
They just had their finale this past Sunday. But it's, I now know what it is. It's a cross between Highway to Heaven and Touched by an Angel.
You said that before. Yeah. You've talked about it before, and you made that same comparison.
But Highway to Heaven, I forgot about Highway to Heaven. It's probably leans more like Highway to Heaven, but Michael Landon was the angel, but there's no angel in this, but it's God Friended Me, and it's all based on technology now and everything and Facebook and all this other stuff, and then they go out and meet these people and they help them and stuff. It's just a really good show.
Making a note right now, this time I'm not going to forget it. God Friended Me. Yeah.
And if you can find it on, I don't know if you can find it to watch it from the very beginning.
Yeah, CBS has an app where you can, don't they, Dan, where you can go pick up shows like that?
Yeah, everything has an app. KST, NBC's got an app, CBS, ABC. Yeah. Really, it's going to be impossible for you to say, oh, there's no way I can watch that show. Everything has an app.
Mm-hmm. You can find anything. Anybody else have a suggestion?
No? Frank, I saw this show about a week and a half ago, and it reminds me of The Twilight Zone because the second episode doesn't have anything to do with the first. I'm one of these guys, though. I always jump on the bandwagon about 3 or 4 years late. Like these guys are beating on me about Game of Thrones off air. Mm-hmm. Have you ever talked about Black Mirror on the air?
No, I've never heard of it.
Okay, now let me tell you something. This is the kind of show that you don't need to watch the first episode to understand the second episode. None of these episodes have anything to do with each other. It's like The Twilight Zone in Britain. And I've watched the first two episodes, and I'm so flabbergasted at how silly the premise is, and yet how much I liked it. And the first episode,
you shouldn't watch the first episode. Skip to the second.
No, well, the first episode's about the Prime Minister.
Yeah, skip that one.
Now listen to this, Frank.
Okay, first of all, where do you see this?
It's on Netflix. It's on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It's called Black Mirror. Okay. The first episode is about the Prime Minister of Britain, and his daughter gets kidnapped. Mm-mm. Okay, and the kidnappers have one demand of the Prime Minister of Britain, and the entire country finds out what the kidnapper's demand is, and the demand is either he has sex with a pig on live TV or they kill his daughter.
Wow.
And it sounds so ridiculous, but the way that they shoot this show is like how the whole country reacts and how everybody crowds around the TV like we would do for a World Series game, and then at one point a finger arrives and they believe it's the daughter's hand with a ring that only she wore, and this guy's like having like heart to heart conversations with his wife and with his cabinet about whether or not he should do this or not, and he decides to go through with it, and the backlash
of what happens afterward
is just I think you'll love it because of the way it ends. The very last scene, it'll hook, and then the next episode has nothing to do with it, but the premise sounds so stupid, but I was fascinated by it.
Okay, around the room, if it were true, and you knew that tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, if you want to turn it on, the Prime Minister of whatever, England, is there, England have a Prime, I guess?
Yeah, we have a Prime Minister. Yeah. Right now it's Theresa May.
Yeah, okay, forget it. Let's go back to Tony Blair or somebody.
Sure.
If he was going to have sex with a pig live on TV, would you tune in? I'll start first.
Yes.
I'm in.
I'd probably watch it.
Yeah, I would watch it.
How could you not?
I'd have to. Curiosity factor.
I wonder what it would sound like.
Watch the episode. You'll know.
No. Yeah. No. We don't need that.
No, we do need
Thank
it.
You.
No, I think we do. Yeah. I think we do. I think that Dan, what Dan has asked for is a demonstration of the harsh reality of a man having sex with a pig. And what I'm going to ask, since it's Great Britain, Limey, I'm going to ask you to play the part of
Tony Blair.
Who was the last before this woman? Tony Blair? Was he the last?
No.
You play the part. Let's say the Prime Minister is a man. He doesn't even have to have a name. Let's say it's the Prime Minister following Theresa, what's her name?
Okay.
Let's make him Prime Minister.
What's his name?
Phillips.
Trevor Blair.
Brian
Hill. Trevor Blair.
Trevor Blair.
Trevor Blair. All right.
Now, what I want you to do is you're on live television. Okay. You've just taken your pants off.
Okay.
And I want you to summon the pig, to call the pig over. Go ahead.
Hey, little piggy.
See, that's not doing it. The pig is not moving.
Yeah.
It's going
like
to take more.
You got to
flirt with the pig a little bit.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
Come on over here. Come on
right
over
now,
here.
Right now, here, I'll play the part of the pig just sort of not real interested. Here.
Come here, you future bacon sandwich.
Future bacon sandwich did it. The pig did not want to become a bacon, a BLT, or part of a BLT. That's when the pig came over to you, backed into you, and said, "Let's get this over."
Oh, and this, and the pig in this show, the name of the show is Black Mirror on Netflix. And when you this ain't no baby pig that they bring in here. This is
It's played by Rosie O'Donnell.
Good one. Roseanne and Rosie O'Donnell.
Wow.
They would probably turn her down because she's too ugly to play the pig.
Oh.
Black Mirror. What a great name, by the way. Dan Buffa, have you heard of this? Black Mirror? That's
a
great name. Mm-hmm. That would get my attention. Black Mirror. That just sounds...
It's shot so serious. We sit here and we laugh, but I'm telling you, Frank, this is shot in a very cinematic, dramatic style. Like, this whole country is mesmerized, and there's people getting in bar fights as to what the prime minister should do, and it's actually a drama. If you can believe that.
It really is. Like, we're making fun of it, and like I can't really tell you how it ends, but it kind of makes a little sense. Like, as you're watching it, you're like, well, I mean, that kind of this actually would happen, you know, because everybody...
Let me tell you something. It absolutely could happen. There are some sick, twisted people in the world, and people who... you know, will decapitate people if they don't get X number of dollars, cut their heads off. Absolutely, there's somebody out there who would pull something like this and say, you either have sex with a pig on TV or I'm going to kill your wife or your daughter. Yeah, there are lunatics that would do that.
Now,
so it's not that far-fetched.
There's another TV show that's on A&E. I don't know if it's still going on. It was only about 8 episodes long, and it's all about cults and... it's cults and something. It's like cults and outlandish groups and stuff like that. And it talks about the Moonies and how they were really popular back in the 90s. And it talks about that cult of Dave or something that was up in like Oregon. And it was this guy that they thought that was the Messiah. And he was just running like this sex trafficking ring. And then this other one that came out recently.
So this is like a documentary.
The name of it's Cults and Extreme Belief.
Thank you. Cults and Extreme
Belief.
Okay,
and these are all real
ones.
Situations.
And it starts off with a cult of Nexium that was supposed to like start it off in California. It was this self-help, like, you know, empowerment group and all that. And how they were all trying to, like, you know, bring in young girls into the group. And they thought this guy was a super smart person. One of the actresses from Smallville, Allison Mack, the hot blonde, she actually was in Nexium. And right now, she is looking at about a 20-year prison sentence for all of this stuff she's done for Nexium. It is bizarre.
Like, what's it called? All cults, what?
Cults and Extreme Beliefs. Mm-hmm. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Did they include the Jim Jones thing? Because that's like the biggest example.
I don't think so. I might have skipped over that one.
What about the Waco thing? Mm-hmm. David Koresh, what about that?
No, they talk about the 12 tribes. They talk about the ones that don't really get a lot of
attraction. They talk about
attraction.
Jehovah's Witness, Children of God, you know, Richard Jeffs and the Warren Jeffs thing.
Right.
A lot of sexual stuff. In
there was, I think,
was
it, like
wasn't
that.
Jeff's like an Amish guy or something?
Jeff's no, not Jeff Sessions.
I thought he was Amish. Maybe
he was Mormon, I believe.
Yeah, I believe he's the
Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
That's the one, like the offshoot of the Mormon Church.
Anybody else have another one for Mr. Buffa?
53 children.
No, but Jim on the phone has something about for the trivia night that he wanted to mention or talk to you about.
I would love to talk to Jim.
Hey, Frank.
Jim, welcome to 590 The Fan. Jim, what's going on?
Well, first of all, the AM and the PM.
Thank you.
Okay, I texted Limey about this before. I don't know if it was done because, unfortunately, my work makes it that I can't listen to this show every time and not even podcast it every time. So, when you play the Rockford Files theme, I'm a gigantic Rockford Files fan. And that's like the beginning of like the movies that came out after the show. That's like the beginning of that. So, I would like to pay you $100 to play 15 seconds when you introduce the Private Eye. 15 seconds of the very recognizable part of the Rockford Files theme. I'll pay you $100 to play 15 seconds of that.
I'll play 20 seconds of it, and I need for you to shoot me an email, Jim, frankopinion@yahoo.com, and give me your phone number so that I can just call and verify who you are, and then I will tell you where to send the check. How's that?
Now, first of all, though, I'm a person that likes to be understood. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Of course I do. The theme for the Rockford Files, you want to hear at least 15 seconds of it.
I want to hear the part that everybody recognizes that goes, dun-dun, 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 dun-dun. Yes.
You will hear it today. And if you can't listen, you'll be able to go get the podcast and hear it.
Well, it's not going to be, does it have to be today?
It can be whenever you want. It's your $100. Okay. When do you want it to be? Okay. You want it to be right? Okay. We want it to be right now?
No. I can't do it now. That's why. But I'll email you, and I really appreciate it.
Email me. Tell me when you want to hear it, and that's when you'll hear it, okay?
Thank you, sir.
FrankOpinion@yahoo.com.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, Jim.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Well, that'll be easy. Hmm. Are you kidding me? Hey. Anybody out there, you got something that easy? You want to throw 100 or 200 or 300 for us to just play something? How about that? How about $500 and we play all of I'm My Own Grandpa again? That, to me, is one of the funniest things ever.
And I think part of the song is towards the end of the song.
Okay, well, I've got the Rockford Files.
We'll play the whole thing, we will, for $100.
Yeah. All right.
Lime, you'll find it.
Yeah, I mean, I've got several right now. I'm just kind of like trying to figure out which is the right one. I've got Mike Post, The Rockford Files 1974, The Rockford Files Season 1 intro, The Rockford Files theme song.
He said the
So it would have been the TV show intro.
Yeah,
I thought that was the beginning. Isn't that what we play every day?
We play. He's just going to do 15 seconds.
Well, he said that we, John said that what we're playing is from the movie that came out after the TV show.
Oh.
Well, Limey, if anybody can do it, you can do it.
All right.
You find the TV show theme and that part of the theme, and you bet for $100 for St. Jude, we'll find it and we'll play it. Now back to the Dan Buffa segment. All right, I have two. I have to call them both TV shows because they weren't in movie theaters. One is a documentary that I stumbled on Stars called I Am Ali. Have you seen this, Mr. Buffa?
I have not, but I've heard of it.
It is the single best documentary on Muhammad Ali that I've ever seen, and I've seen several. I Am Ali is, I don't even know how to describe it. When you finish watching it, if you didn't like him, I think you'll change your mind. If you really liked him, you'll end up loving him. If you didn't understand him, you'll understand him by the time you watch this. This is so well done. Does anybody here, here's what it made me do. It made me go and do a little research. I wanted to know more about Muhammad Ali. Does anybody here know why he started to fight as a 12-year-old kid? What started him boxing?
Nope.
No.
I thought it was his father.
He had a red and white Schwinn bicycle, and a kid stole it. And he wanted to beat the kid up, find the kid and beat him up. And there was a cop that he knew, and he took him aside, and he said, look, if you're going to go fighting people, as you rightly should, he stole your bike, you need to know how to fight. This cop also taught boxing at a local gym. He said, I'll teach you how to fight, but if you're going to go fight somebody, you need to make sure you can win, you know how to fight. And that's how he started, boxing. And in fact, I can give you the cop's name. The cop's name was Joe Martin. He was a police officer. and started teaching him in the, it's called Columbia Auditorium, 1954. His bobbing and weaving that he did in the ring, where he just danced, he practiced that by having his brother Rudy throw rocks at him.
Oh, man.
Wow.
No, he asked him to, Rudy said in an interview, he said, I thought he was out of his mind, but he would dodge every rock, no matter how many I threw, no matter how hard, I could never hit him. And they did that over and over and over. And that was his whole bob and weave thing that he did. His first professional fight, he fought a, oddly enough, a police officer. That's what got him started with training. His first professional fight, he defeated a guy named Tunney Hunsaker. Hunsaker was the chief of police of Fayetteville, West Virginia. And Ali won in a unanimous decision after six rounds. And there's more and more stuff about Muhammad. It's just flat out.
Yeah, there's been multiple documentaries about it. I know there was an HBO one that I really liked, and they dived into his when he fought Joe Frazier and George Foreman. And really, the best part of a documentary was when they looked at his last years, where he just couldn't stop fighting and he got pummeled. I mean, that's just a sad thing. I mean, he stayed in the ring way too long.
No, he absolutely did. He fought at least two professional fights that he shouldn't have fought. But
it's almost
this
sad.
Is an interesting thing. This is not in the documentary, but it's one of the things I stumbled on. 1971, Madison Square Garden, Joe Frazier. It was called The Fight of the Century.
Oh, yeah.
And this is such an I remember reading this years ago. There was such a tremendous demand for tickets that Frank Sinatra, who wanted to see this fight, could not get in. So Sinatra knew somebody at Life magazine. They gave him a camera, and he went in with a Life magazine press pass. Frank Sinatra went in as a photographer for Life and ended up taking the cover photo.
Wow.
For Life magazine. Yeah, wow. How about that deal? And here's another thing. The fight with George Foreman, was that the Rumble in the Jungle, the
yes.
George Foreman thing?
Yes.
When he beat Foreman, he only made, like, it was like $630,000, something like that. A wealthy guy, years later, bought the boxing gloves from Muhammad Ali that he wore in that fight for just under $1 million. Like $960,000 that he paid Ali for those gloves. More by far than he made for the fight. I find all that stuff fascinating. But folks, if you get a chance to see it, I don't know if Stars is part of basic packages for most people. It's kind of an entry level.
It's usually
upgrade.
Kind of an add-on.
But it's an entry-level add-on. It's not like HBO or whatever. It's not that expensive. It's called I Am Ali. Now, here's the other one. Yesterday in my email, I get an email from a listener named Dan. Dan's a very popular name today. We have two of them in the studio, and we have this guy that emailed me. He said, Frank, you might want to take a look at, on Amazon Prime, the Barkley Marathons. Dan, have you heard of this?
I have not heard of it.
This is one of the strangest things that I have ever watched in my life. Down in Tennessee, every April, they have the Barkley Marathons. It's a race. It's a foot race. But it's not like any other marathon. It is through the most treacherous, thorny,
100
brushy,
miles? Oh, my God.
130 miles through the roughest terrain. You have to complete it in 60 hours or you aren't proclaimed a winner. There have only been, I think, in the 25 years they've done it or something like that, 13 or 14 people finish the race. It's the most brutal thing you've ever seen. Why anybody? And they come from all over the world. There are only something like, I want to say, like 40 participants. But they come from Germany and France. And these are hardcore runners. These are endurance people. And they want
to
see if they can complete the Barkley Marathons. And the answer is no, they can't. In all these years. And I watched it last night. It was the 2000. They had made the documentary around the 2012 Barkley Marathons. It was the first time, I believe, in the history of the marathons that two people actually finished.
It's like last year.
There have been years when no one finished. Most years, nobody finishes because it'll beat you to death.
Even 60 miles, they say if you complete that, it's known as a fun run.
Yeah.
For that? The Berkeley Marathon?
No, no. Don't think of running on a track or running through a town on the streets. It's think of going downhill. I mean downhill so steep that if you trip, you fall and tumble all the way down to the bottom. You've got to navigate all this crap and go through brush and rocks
like
and
this.
Boulders. You did?
Last year, I did a mud run. And it wasn't 100 miles, because that's just insane. But it was about 10 miles, and it was out at this, it was next to a winery way out in the county. And they had this course set up to where it's just mud and hills, and you have to crawl through a mud river, and you go down a slide, and you have to climb over these. It's almost like a military gladiator course. And I swear.
Yeah, like a Navy SEAL thing or something.
That's what it was. And 10 miles of that, I felt like I didn't want to work out or move my body for like 3 days. I mean, that was exhausting.
The Sparkling Marathons has what they call 5 loops to it. You complete one loop, the second loop, the third loop. And the first guy that gave up was in incredible shape. In turn, he was an athlete. He was ready to, he's ready to go. He's going to tackle this thing. He fell out after one loop, and he was dead. And they show you these people after the second and third loop. Their legs are just ripped to shreds. Now, why they all wear shorts, I don't know. My wife says, why do you think they don't wear long pants? I'm guessing that if you tried to wear long pants through this whole thing, you would get overheated. I don't know. Maybe you don't want the extra weight. But their legs look like somebody just took a bunch of tiny razor blades to them and just ripped their legs to shreds. Their feet are destroyed with blisters and cuts, and the ones that can just keep going. And in the end, I could hardly hold my head up watching them when they came to the finish, the two guys that made it. They were so drained and weak. It's brutal. But it's fascinating. The Barkley Marathons on Amazon Prime. It's just, I've never seen anything like this in my life. Now, it's one thing to run a marathon. This is not about running a marathon.
That's
this
an
is
endurance
about
test.
All these survival shows, like, well, what's his name? The guy that eats poop in the jungle and Bear Grylls or whatever.
Bear Grylls.
This is almost, it's almost like a combination.
All right.
Running against the clock, climbing against the clock, and surviving.
He's got a new TV show now out on Netflix called Man vs. Wild, but it's this weird thing.
Great.
It's this interactive show. I haven't watched it yet. I don't know if I'm gonna. And basically, like, you know, one example is like the trailer. He's on a cliff, and at the top of a cliff is a wolf. At the bottom of a cliff is the pathway. And you actually have control of the episode. So if you want him to climb the cliff, he will. If you want him to go down and take the safe travel, he will.
Ready Player One.
Yeah, watch something like that. I don't
my really problem with Bear Grylls.
He had something good where he did something with celebrities. Didn't he had Jake Gyllenhaal out there one time.
The one with Will Ferrell.
He had Obama. He took Obama.
Sterling K. Brown. I mean, he brings these people out here, and you see these movie stars that are put to the test. It's fun.
See, I don't buy it. He did Reese Witherspoon. He did Barack Obama.
Yeah.
I don't buy that show because I don't think that show's reality at all. There's a whole crew. This thing, the Sparkly Marathons, absolute 100% reality. It's not shot by a professional movie crew or production company. It's just regular people documenting it with cameras along the way as these people try to survive through this unbelievable terrain. And then you can only carry so much stuff with you. When they took one guy's, I thought I was going to throw up when they took one of his socks off. His feet were destroyed, yeah. And they show him punching a blister on the bottom of his heel. You cannot walk with a big blister, but he did. They punched it, they taped it, they wrapped it, they put a sock back on him, and he went back out there. And they do all this 60 hours, basically, of stuff with like an hour sleep or no sleep. One of the guys finished it in 55 hours. In fact, one guy broke the previous record, like 52 hours. He didn't sleep 1 minute of the 52 hours. How do you do that?
Well,
how in the world
it's
do you
called,
do that?
It's called Adderall and Red Bull.
Wow.
I just don't know how you do I mean, in fact, that he
and they ate a lot of chicken noodle soup. They'd come in and take a break, and they would just spoon down chicken or some kind of noodle soup and then back out there again.
Because you can't eat something
carbs.
That's going to slow you down, because you need the broth, you need the chicken, you need the noodles for energy. So, I don't think you can really have a big meal.
No. So that's it. Barkley Marathons, and I Am Ali, and now, Mr. Buffett, what do you have?
Well, there's an animated film in theaters I think you could take your grandkids to. It's called Missing Link. It is as voiced by Hugh Jackman, who unfortunately ladies can't watch him in this movie. They have to hear his lovely voice. He plays Sir Lionel Frost. He hunts down or tracks or explores creatures, wild creatures. And in this movie, the person he's after is called Mr. Link, which is basically Bigfoot, and is voiced by Zach Galifianakis from the Hangover films. And you know, this movie, it's one of those stop motion animation, which I really like. It's kind of like that choppy form where it's not as smooth as regular, like, you know, the really sleek looking CGI. And it's a really simple tale. Frost is going to help Mr. Link find his family and Shangri-La, and they have to run into all these obstacles. And it's just kind of a fun little movie. I think Hugh Jackman is really good. The voice work he provides kind of makes you want to find more out about Sir Lionel Frost. He's one of those guys. He's eccentric. He's an explorer, and he wants to do things that nobody else wants to do. But you know, he tries to find. In the beginning of the movie, he's hunting down the Loch Ness Monster, and he brings this poor guy with him, who basically almost gets eaten by the Loch Ness Monster. And he's just riding up on top of the creature. I don't know. I got a kick out of it. I think it's good for the family, good for the kids. I think this is a movie where the adult can have just as much fun as the kid. It's called Missing Link. And again, Hugh Jackman, I don't think he's done a lot of animated films usually. I know right now he's doing that year-long music tour, but he did some good work here.
And how many ARDs?
Let's just go with a solid 3. I don't think it's great. I don't think it's like Toy Story or Finding Nemo kind of great, but I do think it's an enjoyable way to get out of the sun if you want to, or to have a good little time with the kiddos.
And it's called what again?
It is called Missing Link.
All right, 3 ARDs, here they come.
All right, Dan. All right, Dan. All right, Dan.
For the more serious crowd, and this is a movie that I kind of caught a week late, it's an indie film, and it's called Diane, and it stars Mary Kay Place. Now, this is an actress who a lot of people won't know her name, but if you saw her face, if you saw her in so many different movies, you know, she's always kind of played the third lead or the fifth person. She's played the best friend. Well, in this movie, she gets the lead. It's like Sam Elliott 2 years ago in The Hero, or the late Harry Dean Stanton, who spent 100 films playing bit roles. He got a big role last year called Lucky. In this movie, she plays Diane, who's basically one of those women who cares for others so much that she doesn't really take care of herself. My mom is kind of like this. You know, if she has dinner and she has people over, she will serve you, and then she'll eat about 2 hours later. That's basically the lead character in this movie.
I watched the trailer for this, Diane, just 2 nights ago, and for whatever reason decided not to watch it. Well, it just seems slow to me.
Well, it is. It's kind of a meditation about aging, because she has all these friends, and she's got a drug addict son that she can't help, and it's kind of about when you get old and your friends start to die, and you've given your life to everybody else, you know. When they're gone, what are you going to do with yourself? And there's something about her character that we don't know until midway. There's kind of something that she did that was wrong, having to do with her friend and her kid, and that's what she basically shames herself for. Have you ever seen a movie where somebody just cares for others and not for themselves because they feel guilt for what they did? And again, she's got a drug addict son played by Jake Lacy, and this kid, you know, she goes over to see her son, and she knows he's under the influence, and he says no. And it just goes back and forth. It's a very realistic movie. Yeah, it doesn't move fast, but I think if you want something that's a little bit more honest and really a great Mary Kay Place performance to a woman who has spent, you know, the majority of her last 40 years in movies just kind of being like the... And usually, like, years ago, she would be the best friend in this movie. She wouldn't be like...
At one time, many, many years ago, didn't she star in a TV series?
I think she was in a few. She's been in so many.
What's her name?
Mary Kay Place.
I agree with you, though. Once you see her, Mary Kay Place, Place. Once you see her, you will absolutely know who she is.
And I agree. And she's been in 135 different things. So she's been in, she was in Grey's Anatomy. She was in a TV show called Grace and Frankie. She was in Family Guy.
Wasn't there a series called something Hartman, Mary Hartman or something?
Oh, yeah, there was.
She was on Big Love. She was on the HBO show Big Love. She played Adeline Grant. She had a big role in that show. Bored to Death, another HBO show.
She was on Mary Hartman, Frank in 1976 through 77.
There you go.
Yeah, she's been
that
in
is
so
weird that
movies.
I remembered that.
Yeah, and her first movie was in 1973. She was in a movie called All in the Family. She played Betty Sue.
Oh, that's a TV series.
Yeah.
That's Archie Bunker.
Yeah, I mean, that was her first thing. One episode is Betty Sue. So from 1973 up until 2018, she wasn't a star in anything. And now she's in this movie, so it's great to see her get this opportunity. It is a slow movie. It's an honest movie. It's at times depressing. I'm not gonna lie to you. It's not a movie you're going to want if you want to be in a good mood, because her character is not a bad person, but she's done a few bad things, and she kind of punishes herself for it. She wants to help others, and when she can't help others, she's hard on herself. But she makes it work.
And where do you see it again?
It is at the Plaza Frontenac. It is still playing. The good thing about the Plaza Frontenac is that they keep movies for like months, not weeks like the Tivoli, where if you do bad, you can spend, a movie is spent 6 days at the Tivoli before it gets kicked out. But it's at the Plaza Frontenac. It's a perfect theater for it. If you don't want all the big animated superhero movies and you want something real and you want to see Mary Kay Place finally get the lead role, you go see Diane.
Okay, ARDs.
I think I'm going to stick with three. I think it's kind of she carries it to where it is. Maybe if I watch it again, it might go up, but it is definitely worth watching.
And that's good, folks, because it's out of four, not five.
Oh,
the
four.
Best is
yeah.
four. So three ARDs is like 75%. That's pretty good. They come.
It's almost three like it could be a B plus. You know, it could be a B plus.
Yeah, three ARDs for Diane.
All right, Dan. All right, Dan. All right, Dan.
Now, I have watched a Netflix series, and this is every week. You know, my dad's retired, so every week I get a new thing to watch from him. Like, you have to watch this. And he's watched the whole thing, you know, whenever he tells me this. So this week he comes over, and he brings with him, of course, a giant bottle of Jack Daniels, because he always brings me bourbon, because I have a great dad. But he says, okay, I got a show for you to watch. And then, have you seen this? And he goes, have you seen Black Summer on Netflix? It is... Now, let me just say, I'm going to say two words, and you're probably going to go, oh, not again. It's a zombie flick. But let me tell you about this show.
Oh, not again.
It's shot very well. It's intense. These zombies, they're not the smartest, but they have brute force. And the thing is, you don't have to get bit or scratched to turn into a zombie. You basically can inhale the same air as them.
Okay, so, all right, that's one thing. Give me a couple other things where this is different than The Walking Dead, because I used to be really into The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I loved it.
And it had a couple of bad seasons, didn't it?
It just got boring. Yeah. It was repetitive. Like, they show up, there's a community.
This show is
all
intense.
All of a sudden, there's more zombies. Like, what makes this different than The Walking Dead?
So, I mean, well, for me, it's basically the way they split up the timelines. So in one episode, there's only eight episodes. That's a great thing.
Okay.
Eight episodes. In this one, there's a series of characters, but they go to different point of views, different perspectives. So you see two people trying to run away, and then off in the distance, you see two things, and you go, oh, man, what's going on with those characters? Well, later on, you see that point of view. And
it's called Black Summer.
It basically is the central character played by Jamie King, who is a very, very, still very pretty blonde. She plays a mother who loses her daughter in the first minutes because the military is separating people. If they know you're infected, you're not going to get on the truck. If you are, then they'll take you. You know, so the daughter gets separated. So the whole show is built around this mother trying to look for her daughter after civilization collapse because of zombie outbreak. And, of course, she's with her husband, who may or may not be infected. And this will never get old to me, is when you think about a mother or a husband and a wife, and they're trying to survive. What if when the husband turns and you have to kill the person you just built a family with? I always find that's just freaky fascinating. Like in Dawn of the Dead, where the husband turns, and all of a sudden the mother has to go, okay, I got to kill my husband. Hold on, honey. It's just, it's freaky.
My biggest fear is being eaten alive by something like a shark or a bear. That's why I never go into
what
the deep sea.
What about by a person? What about somebody like
Jeffrey Dahmer, like instantly. So if there is ever a zombie apocalypse and my significant other starts doing some weird twitching, like
that's
making
it.
Growls, they're going down instantly.
Yeah, and in this series, there's a few instances where a character you've been following for even a few minutes or a few episodes, he or she turns and you're like, uh-oh, we got to take care of them. And it's just so many, because these zombies, they've got super strength and they run. And there's a scene where they're trying to escape in a van and they run over a bike and they have to get rid of this bike. It's making the van drive slow. And the camera is at the wheel level of the car,
mm-hmm.
and you can see the zombie running towards the car, and she's trying to pull this bike out. And just with the fact that you don't know if it's going to get her or not, it's just thrilling.
See, running zombies, nope.
It's just the way that they film it. It's just the camera angles they use. It's very blunt force. It's kind of like a Blair Witch Project where the camera's all over the place. And I don't know, it's kind of like, it's not great. It's kind of a B movie in the way it's shot. Other than Jamie King, I don't think there's anybody else I really recognize. But it's 8 episodes, and they move fast. And, of course, you know, you're going to run into all kinds of people. There's people that are kind of holed up in a school. There's a bunch of teenagers and kids that have taken over to school, and they kidnap the adults that go there. And they kind of go... It's kind of freaky. Like, imagine if you had to survive, okay, a bunch of kids, we're going to stick together, and we're going to kidnap adults, take their stuff, take their guns, take their water. It's freaky. There's an episode where kids are playing tricks on adults with an intercom in a school. That is just freaky. So I think it's a little bit different. It's a zombie series, so take it as you will. But I think the little tweaks they put on the format, it had me going. Because I'm with you. I always think, oh, another zombie movie. Can anybody just not be undead for 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, this one does a little bit different. It's two creators, so you got two different minds on it. And it's 8 episodes, and it's on Netflix, and it's called Black Summer.
Black Summer, ARDs, how many?
I'm going to go 3.5. I'm halfway through. I'm 4 through 8, and let me tell you, you don't know who's going to make it. So, yeah, 3.5 out of 4.
All right, here they come.
All right, Dan. All right, Dan. All right, Dan. All right.
And I will say this. I was Uber driving on Saturday night, and I got a flat tire, and it's raining, right? It's just pouring down rain, and I'm on a secluded street in an apartment complex, and I'm waiting for, you know, a State Farm roadside assistance to come help me with the car. And what do I watch? I watch Black Summer on a dark, rainy road, and there was a person coming out of their apartment, and it was right when the zombie was getting somebody, and I jumped. I was like, oh, man, this is not the time to watch Black Summer.
I've got a good Uber story for you. I got a question for you. What's the number one item that people leave accidentally in your car?
Phone.
Exactly.
Every time.
And here's the deal. This has happened to me twice now. The first time I had to run a background check on the guy that dropped me off, and I went and scared the heck out of him in his apartment on a Sunday night, knocking on his glass door, saying, hey, remember me? Yeah, what do you want? Like he's reaching for his gun or something.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
And like I freaked him out because I left my phone. I had to find my iPhone. The problem with Uber is when you lose your phone in an Uber, you go onto your Uber.com account, mm-hmm. and guess what they do to verify that you are who you are? They send you a ping. They send you a code to your phone. That's the only way that's the only way you can verify that.
It's happened 4 times with me. 4 times in the last. Oh, go ahead. You're not done.
Just
go
real
ahead.
Quick. So this happened to me a couple Saturdays ago. Left my Uber and the guy and I'm like running across the parking lot. I knew it right away. I'm like screaming at the guy and he missed me and he took off. So now I got to go all the way back to my house. Get on Find My iPhone. I see the guy's camping out on Manchester and Old State Road. Right. I have no way to monitor if he's leaving or not because he's got my phone.
He's
in the
got
car.
Your phone.
So I go racing over there in the rain. By the time I get there, he's gone. I go over to my brother's house, and I actually had to get on bended knee and beg him to let me borrow his cell phone so that I could monitor my Find My iPhone and follow this guy around. And as soon as I drive all the way over there, guess where this guy's going? He's going back to my house.
Yeah.
The guy went back to my house. So I'm like, and then I see he's dropped the phone. First of all, I called the phone 20 times in his car, and he never answered it. And I actually used him again after that.
I have something to say.
Was it on vibrate?
Was it on the ring? It was on ring. I said, Paul, why wouldn't you pick the phone up? You had to know it was me calling.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I wonder why it rang so many times in a row. And real quick.
Idiot.
Real quick, exactly. So the guy takes the phone. I see that he's put the phone in my front door, but I have no way to contact him, right? So I'm like, what a nice guy. So you know what I do? I get home, I get the phone, and it says, rate your trip with Paul. I give him a $15 tip, then I go check my email. I see he's already charged me $15 to bring my phone back to my house. So I got stuck with another $30.
So essentially, you know, it's happened to me four times, and what I do is I make sure I grab the phone, I put it up by my phone, so I'm waiting for that call. The only delay I've had in returning the phone is when I get another ride. And so I don't want to take a call when I have somebody else in the car. But right when I dropped somebody off, I pulled over and I took the call and I said, hey, I have your phone and I have their address. And every time I return the phone within a day, because sometimes it's 3:12 in the morning. Yeah. I don't want to knock on somebody's door.
The most frustrating part of this, though, is you leave your phone in an Uber car and you see the car pull away and you go, well, I'll just call my phone. You can't because you don't have a phone.
Well, the most frustrating thing, Frank, is that when you try and get on, see what Uber does. Is if, like, if you left your wallet in a car, or you left a laptop bag or something there, and you have
whatever,
and you have your phone on you, what you do is you get on your Uber account, and Uber will send you a verification only to your phone, not via email, only your phone, and only then it'll put you in contact and in contact with a blind connection to the driver, so you can actually talk to the driver right away. Uber does not allow you to verify you are who you are with an email authorization.
They have to do that.
It's unbelievable.
Because I mean, the hardest thing for me is getting in touch with the person. I know if I lost my phone, I'd be in a world of pain. I mean, you just have to have your phone. And the problem, I found a phone one time at 2 a.m. I'm not going to go back to their house at 2:45, 3 in the morning. So I wait till the next day. And what I usually do is you go into that ride and you tell Uber lost item. And basically the return fee is $15.
Right.
But if he gives me a cash tip, I don't charge him that. I have to do that. And so I usually wait to file that. In case I can just go right back to his house, but sometimes you get an Uber ride for like right across the street. So, but it's tough. It's happened four or five times.
If somebody called the phone 20 times in your car, would you answer it?
Yeah, I mean, there's no ride. The longest ride I've had in Uber is 45 minutes. So, I mean, the only thing that I'll tell people is that I couldn't answer the phone because I had somebody else in the car. But I will return, and I like to return phones. I know how important they are. And the biggest thing is just, you know, having that address. But, yeah, the communication and the email confirmation can really make that a lot better. Because somebody else will get in the car and go, hey, there's a phone back here. And I just kind of go, oh, man. Especially if I drop somebody off, like, in a Valley Park and I'm downtown. And I go, oh, I have to go back out there. But it's happened. It happens all the time. But usually, if I'm good about it, I kind of look in the back seat right when they're getting out and make sure they're not leaving anything.
We are out of time, unfortunately.
Out of time.
I need you to do your, you know how to close it out. First of all, give me your email address.
Buffa82@gmail.com. BUFFA82@gmail.com. That's the main one. That's the only one.
And that's, you email him if you have a suggestion for a movie or a series or whatever.
Sure.
And maybe he'll take it under consideration. We'll talk about it next time. You know how to wrap it up.
Yeah, you send me a consideration, I could be reviewing it the next week. So for now, I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of.
All right, Dan Buffa. He's had enough of. Brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement. Well, thank you, everybody. Well, they like you. That crowd just kept applauding, standing ovation even. Brought to you by Window World. It's time for me to talk about Window World, so this works out perfectly. 314-993-1800. Let's do that again. 314-993-1800. That's the number for Window World in St. Louis. The number one selling replacement window in the United States. The people who put on the fantastic trivia night every year, and this year it's May 18th. And I hope, I'm very happy with what we have so far. I am. I don't think for a minute that I'm not, grateful or that I'm. I am, but I want as much as I can get for St. Jude Children's Hospital, because that's what the whole trivia night is about. They have a division called Window World Cares. That's their charitable arm. And what I like about the way they do it is that every dollar, some places will go, well, a portion of the proceeds will go to charity. Sometimes that portion is 2% and they keep the rest. I have been associated with people who did that and I didn't like it. All of the money, 100% of the money that comes in for this trivia night goes to St. Jude Children's Hospital, where the operating costs are $3 million a day. That's the cost of saving the lives of very, very sick kids. Kids with pediatric cancer. costs a lot of money to get the best talent in the world, the best doctors, the best research scientists to save kids' lives, and they're doing a great job of it. So we have bids. I'm not going to go over right now what the bids are for. Some of you know, some of you don't. Maybe we'll run through them in the Playhouse, but please give that some consideration. And the other thing to consider, if you're going to be replacing windows, and a lot of you are this spring, my goodness, if you're in the PM, I'm not telling you what to buy. I'm just asking you to include Window World. Let them come out and give you an estimate and show you how fantastic this product is and why it is the number one selling replacement window in the United States. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com. It is 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Tim McKernan. You are listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS, Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dean Muccio. Huge crowds are gathering for a prayer vigil for the Notre Dame Cathedral. Thousands of Parisians are taking part in the vigil tonight at the nearby Church of Saint-Sulpice. Candles are being lit and a band is performing. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says there is no taint of anti-Semitism in the Democratic Party. During an interview with CNN, Pelosi responded to President Trump's accusations that Dems are anti-Jewish. Pelosi said Trump is bankrupt of any idea.